This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon all of you. Alhamdulillah, we're here again for another sacred text message. The verse that I'd like to look at today is in Surah Al-Baqarah. It's the 216th verse, which says, "Kutiba alaykum al-qital," that struggle, fighting, obviously in our tradition related to defending the faith is prescribed upon you, that it's incumbent upon you. But then it says, "Wa huwa kurhul lakum," but it's distasteful to you. "Wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrul lakum." وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And perhaps you dislike a thing, and in it is much good for you. And perhaps you love a thing, and in it is much harm for you or evil for you, or it's not good for you. And Allah knows, God knows, and you don't know. So this is a very interesting verse in relation to something that in traditional psychology was identified, and something I learned from a really brilliant sinologist and scholar, Dr. Cleary. But in traditional psychology, there was a real recognition of the relationship between thinking and feeling, that these are two capacities that are constantly in interplay in human beings, both from the external environment, but also internally. So we're affected. A word that people use today is triggered, that people are affected by other people, by what they say. There's a great story of a Pakistani hakim who used to treat with ruqya. And so this physician had a patient who he treated, and then the patient got well, and the physician said, I'm so happy that the medicine worked." And she said, no, that medicine didn't help me." And he said, "Well, what helped you?" And she said, "The hakim did a ruqya for me, and that's what cured me." And the doctor was like, "What do you mean?" He said, I after I came here, I went to my hakim sahib, and he actually gave me a dua and did a ruqya, and that's what cured me." So this physician, he was a materialist. He was very upset about that. He wanted to meet the hakim and explain to him that you're really misleading people. And so he went and visited him. And then the hakim said, when he met him, the doctor said to him, all this mumbo jumbo that you're doing, misleading people, telling them that, you know, you can say magical words and they affect them and change their body, and, you know, we have science now. We don't need these things anymore. And then the hakim said, "You're a donkey." And he got really angry. And then he started turning red and puffing up. And, what do you mean? How dare you call me? I'm a physician. I studied at King Edward Medical College. And, you know, I'm well regarded." And he said, no, you're worse than a donkey. I think you're something else." And he started like just really, really getting angry. And he was about to explode, and the hakim just said to him, he said, "Look at how these few words I've said to you have just completely changed your internal state. And they're only words. I didn't give you anything to, I didn't give you anything physical. How is it that those words could have such an effect on your internal state?" And this is really about triggering and thinking and feeling. And so one of the things about thinking and feeling is that people can use them for really nefarious means. Like, because we're so susceptible to the changing of our inward states based on what's being presented to us, that people who have bad intentions can really do this. So one of the things traditionally that was understood, when you look at thinking and feeling, they're related basically to the emotions and to logic. So there's a relationship between the emotions and logic. And so when we have this kind of lack of knowledge of what's being done to us from others who might have real nefarious intentions in manipulating our internal states. So when we're unaware of that, we can really, really be used to, they can excite us and they can arrest our attention and take hold of us. It's a type of possession, really, if you think about it. So people can become easily possessed. Groups can become possessed. Whole entire nations can become possessed under the spell of people that know how to manipulate them when they have a type of unconscious vulnerability to these things. And so one of the things, this is what this great teacher taught, was that there's two classic models of emotional reprocessing, which illustrate how these differences in individual intellectual development are related to differences in emotional development. So one of the traditional ways of doing this was to rethink our likes and dislikes. And this is exactly what the verse is reminding us, that maybe you dislike a thing and in it is good for you. And maybe you like a thing and actually in it is harm for you. So this is actually telling us to reprocess the way we're thinking about things. And so if you look at what could be termed as emotional logic, so for instance, somebody does something to you and you feel sorrow about it. You feel sadness from it. And then that in turn leads to self-pity. So you feel like you're a victim. Somebody's harmed you. And then that leads to anger. So you start becoming angry. And then that leads to blame. So you're going to find a source of your anger. So you blame that person. And then that leads to rationalization, why you're doing it. Well, I'm justified in doing it. So that is a type of emotional logic where your feelings have really taken over. And they've taken over your internal state, and you actually have no control now over them. And you become basically a victim of a type of mind control that Denise Wynn talks about in a book called Manipulated Mind, which is a very interesting book and it's worth reading, because this is done constantly. And rulers and governments use these techniques to manipulate the masses. There's a Chinese manual for the emperor of how to control whole nations. And one of the chapters is translated as the art of letting all hell break loose. So there are times when governments will actually let what they call a purge. They'll let a society purge itself because they know there's so much pent up frustration that it's kind of bloodletting. So it's like when you lance a boil so that you can diffuse the poison. So these are all techniques, but there's another model which could be termed logical emotion, which is where you're really reprocessing your thoughts, and it's a way of thinking that you can detach yourself. So something's happened, somebody's done something to you, so you feel this sorrow, but then you detach yourself, so you step away from it, and really. What's going on inside me? Why do I feel, quote unquote, triggered? Like what's happening inside of me that this person has taken control of my inner state? So you detach yourself, pull yourself away from it, and then you reflect. And that actually can lead to compassion, where you begin to actually have a different response. That's a free person's response. The first is the default setting. So all of us have default settings. When you buy new technology, they're always on default settings. And then you have to read the manual, the operating manual. And then you can actually set them to suit what you need that thing for. Well, we also are come into this world with default settings. One of them is me, me, me. That's a default setting. That's why children scream when they don't get what they want. But you have to reset. And if you have good teachers, they'll help you, like, because you're like that new technology that they're going to reset the default setting and put it into something else. But the book, the operating manual for the human being is called the Quran. That is the operating manual. So you can actually learn how to understand yourself, and then you can reprogram yourself Because Allah tells you all these things like, وَإِذَا مَغَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. When they get angry, they forgive. Oh, so I don't have to blame and attack. And like it's like somebody who's been watching television and they think there's only one channel. And their whole life, they've just been watching this one channel. And then somebody comes in the room and says, what are you watching? And you say, I'm watching the TV. No. What channel are you on? What do you mean channel? What's a channel? That looks like a really stupid thing to be watching. What's it called? Jackass? You know, so you're watching people do stupid things? No, there's other channels. Here, look. Here's the Nature Channel. You know, oh, look. Here's a documentary about Mecca. Oh, here's recitation of Quran. There's whole other channels that you can turn on to. But if you don't know they exist, then you're just trapped in these empty, mindless states. So really getting out of the default setting is the life's challenge. That's what we're here to do. Because if you're constantly in a state of anger and blame, which is based on self-pity, it makes you susceptible to divisive and defensive feelings. And so people can manipulate you because you're angry. And there's all these people that a lot of their social work is actually personal pathology. So they're out there shouting and screaming against this, that, or the other. They're actually just angry at their father for neglecting them. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. People might not want to hear this. And I can speak from my own personal internal self-reflection and dealing with my own childhood traumas and things that happened to me and my own evolution. But I think a lot, I was once with a really remarkable psychiatrist from Ghana, and he was beautiful. He was from a traditional family. His father had been a scholar, but he had a PhD and he had actually MD in psychiatry. And we were at a conference, and I won't say which Muslim group, but there was a Muslim group and they had a series of speakers. And one of them, he was just shouting in such agitation, and he was really going on and on about this, that, and the other. And this man from Ghana, he said, isn't it tragic that people can use public platforms to express their personal pathology? And I don't think it wasn't like backbiting, like he genuinely felt sorry for this person. Like he could see that they weren't well and that they had this public platform. And so that, I mean, that's a lot of what's out there, that just people aren't well. There's all these unwell people. And so we shouldn't allow ourselves to be psychologically manipulated by people that understand how to manipulate us. And they do it through these techniques. And so one of the ways that people are vulnerable to this internal manipulation is this tendency to mix likes and dislikes with judgments of good and bad. So that's why the Quran is telling us, maybe you like a thing and it's actually bad for you. And maybe you dislike a thing and it's actually good for you. So this is one of the ways that you can actually reprocess your feelings and judgments by considering what is bad about what you like and what is good about what you dislike. And then when Dr. Cleary says when the exercise becomes an ordinary reflex, then it is much harder to be deceived by appeals to emotions disguised as appeals to reason. It's a really important point, I think, that's being made, because both, you know, individuals and groups can be fixated on things from outside, and this is real manipulation. And we're living in a time of manipulation. And let us not forget that the multitudes follow the Antichrist. They follow the Antichrist. He has atba, followers. That's what the Prophet ﷺ called them. And he said that he would have drones. Ya'asib. The Prophet literally said drones. That that تتبعه يعاسيب, that the Antichrist would be followed by drones. And I just, you have to wonder about these drones, that they called them drones. And that was the word, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to describe something that the Antichrist would have with him. So I hope people just reflect on this idea of being triggered. This idea of not being triggered is clearly in the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبُهُمَ الْجَاهِدُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, that those who, the servants of the merciful, they tread lightly on the earth, and if ignorant people speak to them, they say peace. They just simply say peace. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, that when they hear any vain talk, they just pass by it nobly. And in the tafsirs they say, إِذَا أُذُوا مَرُّوا كِرَامًا صَفَحُوا, they overlook it. They don't, because the only way we can live together, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best people are those who mix with people and are patient with their adha, with their harm. That it's like, this is the world. People are going to bother you. People are going to upset you. Don't let them. Take control of your internal states. Don't let them control you. Because Allah has, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنًا, we have made some of you a trial, a trigger for others. Will you show patience? That's what Allah says. We've made some of you a fitna, a trial for others. Will you show patience? So again, patience is moving from the default setting of impatience, of getting angry, of blaming, of feeling victimized, to moving to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given us in that operating manual. Here's how you need to reprogram from the default setting to the higher setting. Like, don't allow people to trigger you. Don't feel triggered. Don't even use the word, you're triggering me. No, have control of your internal emotions and just recognize, who's that person? For me to allow that person to take control of my internal world? One of the things about, and this is something that Kierkegaard pointed out, he said, people demand freedom of speech as a compensation for lacking freedom of thought. That we have an internal world that we completely control if we learn how to control it. But if we don't, other people will control it. Don't let other people control your internal world. Take control of it. You can do it. It's called malakatun nafs. The Prophet ﷺ told us to take control of ourselves. Amsik lisanik, he said. Take control of your tongue. Right? I mean, the Quran tells us to take control of ourselves. Qu anfusakum. Save yourselves. Don't let yourselves take control of you. You take control of yourself. Don't be don't let the elephant ride you. You ride the elephant. But if you let the elephant ride you, it'll crush you and destroy you. Don't let other people control you. Control yourself. And the only way you can do that is by reflecting. And that's why reflection is so important, about thinking, why am I getting upset? Why am I feeling this way? These are things that are, they're things that we can do. We wouldn't have been commanded to do it. I remember when I read with Murabt al-Hajj, the يُجَاهِدُ نَفْسُهُ لِرَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ تَحَلَّ بِمَقَامَةِ الْيَقِينَ, which is in Ibn Ashir, at the end of Sidi Abdul Wahid's beautiful text. And I said to him, you know, it says, you know, that يُجَاهِدُ نَفْسُهُ, he struggles with his self for the sake of the Lord of the world. I said, وَإِذَا غَلَبَتُ نَفْسُهُ, I asked Murabt al-Hajj, what if the self overwhelms you? He said, no, you have to fight it. That's the whole point. And he told me that Allah would not give us this taklif if it wasn't in our capacity. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. He will not give you any responsibility that was not in your capacity. That's what he told me. And he said, you just have to keep doing mujahada until you take control of it. But don't let other people control you. Don't let other people manipulate you. This is really, really important, especially in an age where there's so much mass manipulation. You can't trust any of the news. You can't trust. You think you can trust what you're being told? What world do you live in? How many times do you have to be lied to before you realize that you just, that's why the best advice I think I've ever heard from any Western tradition was the advice of Henry David Thoreau. And it was the advice he gave about newspapers. He said, don't read the times, read the eternities. And what everybody's doing today is reading the Times. Now it's on New York Times or whatever, London Times. Now it's the internet. But that's what it is. Whereas we actually have a book of the eternities. It's called the Quran. If you want to know everything, it's all in there. And I'm not just saying, it really is. I mean that. It's a difficult book. I'd be the first to admit that. It's not an easy book, but nothing that's worth achieving or attaining in this world is easy. Nothing. All the easy things are the default settings. It's easy to overeat. It's easy to overspeak. It's easy to waste time. It's easy to be lazy. All the default settings are easy. It's when you change those default settings, which is the mujahada, which is the struggle. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. And those who struggle in our way, we will guide them to our paths. And these are the paths of righteousness. May Allah make us from the people of righteousness. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.